Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading your week's worth of San Angelo Standard Times local articles. These stories were published for the week of Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I'm narrating on Thursday, May 6th, 2021. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update. A look at San Angelo coronavirus data for May. Tom Green County, as of May 6th, from the city of San Angelo. 16,789 positive cases reported. 3 new positive cases. Deaths, 307. 198 from Tom Green County and 109 from other counties. 4 currently hospitalized, 44 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker, 28% of people fully vaccinated, by Chastity Lasky. Tom Green County has administered more than 69,175 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of May 3rd, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 4% from the previous week's tally of 66,825 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 28% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of May 3rd. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention considers someone fully vaccinated 2 weeks after they've been given a single-dose shot, Johnson & Johnson, or a second shot, either Pfizer or Moderna. San Angelo train car opened for first time in decades, by Colin Murphy, published May 6th. In a situation which brought back memories for some volunteers of a notorious television episode from the 1980s, a rail car closed off for decades to the public at the Railway Museum of San Angelo was opened Thursday. In 1986, TV host Geraldo Rivera opened up a vault belonging to Al Capone on live television to reveal nothing more than a few old glass bottles. The rail car reveal on Thursday was more fruitful. As the heavy car door slid open, sunlight filtered into the dusty space. Volunteers took their first steps into the old car, which formerly shipped furniture between Brownwood and San Angelo, according to volunteer Carlos Gonzalez. "I didn't have any idea what we would find, but I think there are some cool things that people who love historic things will really like," said Linda Bond, Railway Museum of San Angelo board member. Gonzalez, a retired train conductor and brakeman from the area, pointed out items dating back to the former station's heyday. Volunteers discovered a telegraph machine, a historic lock from the Barnhart shipping pens, tools, signs, and various artifacts. The museum volunteers will filter through the car's treasure to decide what they will keep and sell before a May 15th event. The inaugural Railway Days Festival will feature a fundraising train treasures booth with items the museum no longer needs. "We have to raise money for everything we do," Bond said. "We are making sure that they are things we either already have in our collection or that we can't use for whatever reason." The festival is set for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, May 15th. San Angelo man charged after father bitten, mother hurt during fight, by Elena Edgen, published May 6th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after police arrived at a home and found both of his parents injured, according to a police report released Thursday. On April 29, 2021, police arrived at a house in the 600 block of East 20th Street for a trespassing call. An officer began to arrest the man and learned there had been an assault, according to the report. The man had reportedly punched his father in the face and bit his father's left arm. The man's mother attempted to pull him off the father, but was shoved into a wall, which she said caused her pain, according to the report. A search of the man also revealed a sock containing 15.6 grams of methamphetamine, records state. Victor Murillo Chavez, 36, was arrested April 29th on suspicion of assault causes bodily injury, family violence, injury to a child, elderly, disabled person, with intentional bodily injury and possession of methamphetamine. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $90,000 bond as of 8 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. San Angelo woman charged after wedding ring stolen from home, by Elena Edgen, published May 4th. A San Angelo woman has been indicted after about 8 months after a resident noticed a wedding ring missing from her home, according to court documents released Tuesday. On August 20th, 2020, a resident allowed a one-woman cleaning service to clean her residence. 3 days later, the resident noticed a yellow 14-carat ring with diamonds was missing, records state. The resident spoke with the cleaning woman, who said she had her adult daughter helping her that day. The resident also learned a man had sold the ring to a pawn shop on North Bryant Boulevard, according to the arrest affidavit. Surveillance video from the pawn shop showed the daughter and a man leave a vehicle and enter the store about 3 p.m. August 20th, 2020. The man told officers he did not know the ring was stolen and sold it for the daughter since she did not have her identification, records state. The daughter told her mother she stole the ring because she owed some people money, according to the arrest affidavit. The ring at the pawn shop matched a drawing the resident had given police. Anastasia Nicole Escamilla, 25, was arrested September 17, 2020, on suspicion of property theft more than $2,500, but less than $30,000. She was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center the next day, according to online jail records. An indictment released Tuesday charged Escamilla with a theft charge. This is a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for June, according to an online court record. San Angelo man charged in sexual assault of child younger than 6 years old, by Elena Edgen, published May 4th. A San Angelo man has been indicted nearly 8 years after a child was sexually assaulted, according to an indictment released Tuesday. On June 15, 2013, a man sexually assaulted a child who was younger than 6 years old at the time. The indictment did not give an exact age. John Clark Simpson was arrested April 28, 2021, on the indicted charge of aggravated sexual assault of a child. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on Friday on a $50,000 bond, according to online jail records. The charge is a first-degree felony punishable by 25 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has not been set as of 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Everything you want to know about San Angelo's streets can be found on this website, by John Tufts, published May 4th. San Angelo has 867 miles of residential streets, 283 miles of major roadways, and now one website to keep track of them all. On Tuesday, May 4th, the City of San Angelo launched a new page on its official website with detailed information about street projects and infrastructure. Public Information Officer Brian Groves said the webpage was a long but worthwhile endeavor. Our office has been working with our Public Works Department for the last month on gathering information and creating the page to try to make a one-stop shop for everything streets, Groves said in a message to the Standard Times. By visiting cosatx.us/streets, residents can keep track of what streets in San Angelo are being repaired and what roads will be worked on in the near future, as well as report potholes and learn how streets are constructed and maintained. Active street projects in San Angelo. The City of San Angelo has several active street projects going on as of May 2021, which includes repairs to roadways caused by February's winter storm and the reconstruction of major portions to Bell Street, Southwest Boulevard, and Chadburn Street in downtown San Angelo. Updates to the reconstruction of Bell Street's water and sewage, drainage, and roadway can be found on the site. future street projects happening in San Angelo. More of San Angelo's streets and roadways, from Sunset Drive to Knickerbocker Road, will be repaired in the coming months, according to cosatx.us/streets. Some of those projects include the following. Howard Street. What? Mill and Overlay. Begins May 2021. Sunset Drive. Mill and Overlay. Beginning early summer. College Hills Boulevard. Reconstruction of roadway and drainage work. Design phase is 60% complete. Chadburn Street. Avenue L to Avenue B. Reconstruction of roadway. Currently in design phase. Loop 306 North to 43rd Street. Reconstruction of roadway. Utilities portion is 80% complete. Street portion is nearing bid stage. Rio Concho Drive. Reconstruction of roadway and drainage work. Design phase is 60% complete. Jackson Street. Knickerbocker Road to the railroad tracks. Reconstruction of roadway. Design phase is 75% complete. The city noted other repair projects will include East Harris Street, Johnson Street, Cristoval Road, Avenue N, and Smith Boulevard. San Angelo woman charged with evidence tampering in murder case receives sentence. By Elena Edgen, published May 4th. A San Angelo woman connected to the February shooting death of Ray Robles could avoid going to prison after pleading guilty Monday to a lesser charge. About 1:30 p.m. Monday, May 3rd, Sierra Paula Maureen Camarillo attended a plea hearing in the 119th District Court. Camarillo was charged with tampering with evidence in the death of Robles on February 26, 2021. In exchange for her plea of guilt, the state suggested 6 years deferred adjudication. 119th District Judge Ben Woodward accepted the state's suggestion and sentenced her to 6 years of deferred adjudication, a type of probation that could help her avoid conviction if she follows the rules of the agreement. Drug deal leads to fatal shooting, police say. On February 25, 2021, police arrived at an apartment complex in the 3300 block of North Bryant Boulevard. They found the body of Ray Robles, who died from trauma believed to be the result of being shot with a firearm, records state. People in the apartment at the time of the shooting told officers Robles came to the apartment to buy marijuana. Robles asked for it to be weighed before buying it. While it was being weighed, an argument began with Robles, Camarillo, and Mauricio Narco Portillo, records state. Investigators learned Camarillo and Portillo had been selling marijuana to Robles, according to court documents. As the argument continued, Portillo hit Nathan Gonzalez, 20, with a gun, then pointed the gun at occupants in the apartment. Witnesses said Portillo then shot Robles in the neck. After the first shot, Camarillo told officers she watched Portillo stand over Robles and shoot him again. He dropped the gun, took Robles' gun, and fled through a window, she told police. Police arrested Camarillo on charges of tampering, fabricating physical evidence with intent to impair an investigation, after claiming in her initial testimony that she had shot Robles herself with his own gun multiple times in defense of Gonzalez, an affidavit stated. Camarillo later told police she dropped Portillo's weapon near the victim while he took the victim's weapon and fled. She said she then took possession of the handgun used to shoot Robles and moved it, according to an affidavit. Portillo was arrested later that night and booked into Tom Green County Jail. Police also arrested Gonzalez on charges of felony, manufacture, delivery, controlled substance, penalty group 2 or 2A, a news release stated. Former Paint Rock ISD school board member guilty of child sex abuse, sentenced to prison, by John Tufts, published May 3rd. Daniel Wayne Bennett, who served as vice president of Paint Rock ISD, was sentenced to prison Monday, May 3rd, after a jury found him guilty of child sexual abuse. Bennett was indicted in January 2018 on three charges regarding crimes against a child, one count of continuous sexual abuse of a child under the age of 14, and two counts of sexual assault of a child. The trial, presided over by Judge Mike Freeman, began Wednesday, April 26th, and lasted 5 days. A Tom Green County jury found Bennett guilty of all three counts Friday, April 30th. On Monday, the 45-year-old Paint Rock resident received a prison sentence. The jury sentenced Bennett to 45 years in prison on count one, continuous sexual abuse of a child. Bennett also received a 10-year sentence for each of the two sexual assault charges, according to a news release. All three sentences will run concurrently, according to the Concho County District Clerk's Office. Bennett will not be eligible for parole and will have to serve the entirety of his sentence, according to the Texas Government Code CH.508.145, Section 21.02. State of Texas versus Daniel Wayne Bennett. The abuse occurred on and off between August 2009 and July 2013, according to court documents. In June 2016, a then-recent graduate of Paint Rock High School reported to the Concho County Sheriff's Office that she had been sexually assaulted by Bennett since she was 11 years old, according to a news release. The sexual assaults began in Paint Rock the summer before she entered junior high and continued until she turned 17, the release stated. Due to the nature of the offense, the Texas Rangers were asked to assist in the investigation. After obtaining a search warrant for Bennett's cell phone records, authorities found 6 years' worth of text messages between the victim and Bennett, consistent with the victim's account of how she had been sexually assaulted, the release stated. During their investigation, authorities identified and located another of Bennett's victims. A second victim said Bennett sexually assaulted her twice when she was 9 years old, a news release stated. In January 2018, Bennett was indicted by a Concho County grand jury for the offenses of continuous sexual assault of a young child and two counts of sexual assault of a child for his conduct associated with the first victim. Prior to trial, the state sought and was granted a transfer of venue from Concho to Tom Green County. After Bennett was sentenced Monday, 119th District Attorney John Best thanked investigators for their hard work as well as Bennett's victims. "I want to thank both victims for having the courage to come forward and the strength to see this case to conclusion," Best wrote in a news release. Paint Rock ISD informed in 2018. School administrators were informed by law enforcement officials of Bennett's indictment and arrest in 2018, stemming from a 2016 outcry of abuse, according to an earlier news release from the Paint Rock School District. The abuse did not involve any events that took place on school grounds or at school events, according to a district release. In February 2018, a petition letter submitted during a Paint Rock School Board meeting requested Bennett's immediate resignation. The letter was written by a retired teacher, principal, and resident of Concho County, and backed by the signatures of almost three dozen other Concho County residents. Bennett refused to resign. The owner and operator of a local construction company, Bennett served on the Paint Rock ISD School Board beginning in 2006. He was also on the Concho County Appraisal District's Board of Trustees for several years, according to an earlier news release. In early 2020, Bennett was among five candidates running for trustee positions on the Paint Rock ISD School Board. The three individuals with the most votes in May 2020 were elected to serve three-year terms, 2020 to 23, according to a district news release. On Tuesday, May 4th, an attorney for Paint Rock ISD forwarded a copy of Bennett's resignation letter to the Standard Times. Bennett resigned from both the school board and the Concho County Appraisal District on the same day. A jury sentenced him to prison, writing, "I, Daniel Wayne Bennett, due to my inability to serve, hereby resign my position on the Paint Rock ISD School Board, as well as my position with the Concho County Appraisal District, effective on May 3, 2021. Officials with Paint Rock ISD had removed Bennett's name from their official website by noon Tuesday. It wasn't immediately clear how soon his position will be replaced. San Angelo man charged with years of sexual abuse of a child revealed by Facebook message by Elena Edgen, published May 4th. A San Angelo man has been indicted after years of sexual abuse was reported by a child, according to court documents released Tuesday. On December 1st, 2020, a child told investigators a man began inappropriately touching them when the child was 10. The sexual assaults began when the child turned 12 years old, records state. The child reported the assaults happened more than 10 times from August 19, 2015 through August 18, 2019, according to court documents. On February 10, 2021, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputies interviewed the mother and child. The child reported the man sent messages through Facebook which talked about the sexual assaults, records state. Investigators saw a message from July 23, 2018, which was sent from the man's Facebook account to the child and matched the child's statement. Mario Alberto Sanchez Jr., 23, was arrested on February 28 on suspicion of driving while intoxicated, second charge, resisting arrest, search, or transport, and continuous sex abuse of a child under 14 years old. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $107,500 bond on February 24th, according to online jail records. An indictment released Tuesday charged Sanchez with continuous sex abuse of a child under 14 years old. This is a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for June, according to online court records. San Angelo man with history of assaults arrested after woman injured in kitchen scuffle, by Elena Edgen, published May 4th. A San Angelo man has been arrested months after a dispute over a phone ended with a woman being hit with a pan, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On January 17, 2021, police arrived to a reported stabbing, which happened in the 900 block of Shiloh Street. Officers met with a woman in the 500 block of Avenue R who had injuries to her face and left thigh, according to the affidavit. The woman told officers she and a man were arguing over the man's phone. The man grabbed a pan and struck her, which resulted in the facial injuries, records state. The assault continued as the man threatened her, making her afraid for her safety and the safety of their nine-month-old child, she said. She grabbed a pocket knife and attempted to defend herself. The woman struck the man in the chest, and he continued to hit and threaten her, records state. They struggled over the knife, resulting in injuries to the woman's thigh and the man's hands. The man noticed the woman losing a notable amount of blood and retrieved items to stop the bleeding before leaving in a black Ford pickup, according to the affidavit. Officers found the pickup at a residence in the 1900 block of North Street, but were unable to contact the man. A criminal history search revealed he had prior arrests or convictions for assault in Texas and other states, which were not specified in the affidavit. Records also showed he had assaulted the woman less than 2 months prior to the January case. His arrest came nearly 4 months after the January assault was reported, according to online jail records. Jorge Costilla Martinez, 54, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a controlled substance, and a parole violation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $10,000 bond as of 9:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Water restrictions lifted for San Angelo's Northern Industrial Zone. Area remains valved off, by John Tufts, published May 3rd. More than two dozen San Angelo residents living in the city's northern industrial zone can use their water again after nearly 3 months of restrictions. The city issued a do-not-use water advisory across San Angelo in February after multiple residents in the Paul Ann neighborhood complained of a strong chemical odor dripping from their taps. Laboratory tests later confirmed dangerous levels of benzene, acetone, and naphthalene were in the water. While restrictions have eased for the rest of San Angelo since then, up to 29 residents living in the city's northern industrial zone have been unable to consume, drink, or cook with water. On Monday, May 3rd, the city of San Angelo announced residents living in the area can return to normal water usage after ongoing sampling and improvements to deficiencies were made to businesses in the area, according to a news release. Water Utilities Director Allison Strube welcomed the move. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the city had been working diligently to get to this point, Strube said during an interview with the Standard Times. The area remains valved off as a precautionary measure to protect the rest of San Angelo's water system. The city will continue to take water samples from the Paul Ann and northern industrial areas for the foreseeable future, a news release stated. City crews have been delivering bottled water for months to the 29 affected residents. Strube said those residents will receive an additional delivery on Tuesday, as well as a notice that water restrictions have been lifted. "We're glad that the customers in this area have now been reestablished with full use of their water," Strube said. City issues guidance for RO systems. Officials with the cities recommend residents in areas affected by the water restrictions take extra precautions if they have a home water filtration unit and or filters. Residents are recommended to replace their filters before consuming water through those units. It is also recommended to contact the filtration provider to consult with them regarding inspections and or replacement, a news release stated. Indictment. San Angelo man found sleeping in vehicle after trying to run someone over. By Elena Edgen, published May 3rd. A San Angelo man has been indicted months after a person was run off the road while driving and almost run over, according to court documents released Monday. About 6 p.m. February 2, 2021, police arrived in the 5,000 block of North Bryant Boulevard to a crash. A 1999 Chevrolet car struck a business's metal fence. A pole had gone through the car's front windshield and out the back passenger side window, injuring the driver's head, records state. The driver, who was bleeding from the back of his head, told officers he had left a Walmart and was traveling northbound on Bryant. As he headed toward the Chadburn Street exit, he noticed a white pickup accelerating behind him, according to the arrest affidavit. The pickup crashed into the car's bumper multiple times. The car took the exit and drove to the parking lot of a business while the pickup pursued. He stopped the car near the fence and the pickup struck it, pushing it into the fence, records state. The car's driver exited his vehicle and asked what the pickup driver's problem was. The man driving the pickup responded something to the effect of, "The car driver knew what he had done, and that the pickup driver knew who the car driver was," records state. The car driver said he attempted to take the pickup driver's attention from his car by running away. While he ran, the pickup pursued and attempted to run him over. The car driver called police and the pickup fled, according to court documents. Investigators found the license plate of the white pickup, which belonged to a 39-year-old San Angelo man. A Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputy found the man sleeping in the pickup near Landers Road at 6:49 p.m., records state. The man showed signs of intoxication and was arrested. When asked about the crash, he refused to give a statement, according to the affidavit. Olin Kenneth McLean, 39, was arrested February 11th on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and going off bond for driving while intoxicated, third or more. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $150,000 bond as of 8 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. He was indicted on both charges in April. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon is a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The intoxicated charge is a third-degree felony punishable by up to 10 years. McLean has been previously convicted of driving while intoxicated in 2011 and 2017, according to the indictment. Brenda Gunter, projected to win re-election, will serve second term as mayor of San Angelo, by John Tufts, published May 1st. On a wet and rainy election day, the votes poured in for Brenda Gunter. San Angelo's first female elected mayor won her bid for re-election Saturday by a commanding lead in the polls. Out of 5,986 ballots cast, Gunter took the lion's share with 4,434 votes, 74%. "I want to thank the citizens of San Angelo for getting out and voting," Gunter said from her election watch party at Miss Hattie's restaurant. "I am so proud to have the opportunity to lead the city and work hard for the citizens." On Saturday, May 1st, Gunter defeated two other challengers, Dietrich Tillis and Sylvara Lawson. Lawson would have been the second female to hold office. Tillis was the city's first black mayoral candidate, according to a spokesperson with San Angelo's local chapter of the NAACP. Tillis finished in second place with 1,224 votes, 20.5%. Lawson came in a distant third with 328 votes, 5.5%. She could not be reached for comment on Saturday. The results are not considered final until canvassed. Tillis congratulated Gunter on her victory during an interview with the Standard Times. "I want to congratulate Ms. Gunter on a great race," Tillis said. "I think we had a really competitive offering, but she did come up the winner tonight." Tillis thanked his supporters for their vote and said he would leave the possibility of running again open in the future. Gunter will serve another four-year term as San Angelo's mayor after she was the projected winner during Saturday's election. At 7:20 p.m., election officials released the results of early voting for the mayoral race. Out of a total of 2,444 ballots, Gunter took a commanding lead early on with 1,865 votes, 76.3%. Tillis was in second with 453 votes, 18.5%, and Lawson had 126 votes, 5.1%. Election Administrator Vona Hudson on Tuesday said early voting results were low. About 3,661 people cast ballots during early voting, with 2,519 people voting in person and 1,142 entering a ballot by mail, about 6.7% of San Angelo's registered voters. Participation in local elections has been traditionally low in previous years, averaging about 13.6% total voter turnout in the last three races for mayor. "It is with pleasure that I serve the citizens of San Angelo, and we will continue to do right by the citizens," Gunter said. Miller unseats DeWitt in San Angelo City Council race while Thompson wins re-election, by Elena Edgen, published May 1st. The results are in for the San Angelo City Council single district races, which included two contested races. Here's who won and a look at the races. The contested races for single member districts 2 and 6 had six candidates total. In SMD 2, incumbent Tom Thompson faced off with Mercedes De La Cruz and Sia Rangel. SMD 6 incumbent Billy DeWitt campaigned against Larry Miller and James R. Irvin. Lucy Gonzalez, single member District 4 incumbent, ran unopposed. Early votes set the stage for the election and showed the start of a heated competition in District 6. Miller took 453 of the 744 early votes, with DeWitt trailing behind at 292. In District 2, Thompson earned 147 of the 204 early votes, and De La Cruz held 41. As votes started to roll in through the night, Thompson and Miller's leads continued to expand. Final results showed Thompson with 417 votes, nearly 70% of the vote, which pointed toward his re-election. Miller earned the most votes out of any SMD candidate with 896, beating DeWitt's 635. He credited his win to his team's old-fashioned campaigning, which included phone calls and knocking on doors. "I had someone tell me, 'You get a handshake out of someone, you seal their vote.' And it worked," Miller said. "I have a lot of learning to do, but I'm looking forward to it." The results are preliminary until canvassed by the parties. Campaign finance reports show over $18,000 in political contributions. In the District 2 race, the three candidates had a total of $6,550 in campaign contributions. Thompson had $5,500 and spent $3,867.47. Dela Cruz had $1,050 and spent it all. Rangel did not have a report listed. The District 6 race had a total of $12,420. DeWitt had $5,700 in political contributions and spent $608.09. Miller had $6,720 in political contributions and spent $3,067.67. Irvin did not have a report filed. Leftover contributions can be used to pay loans borrowed for the race or be saved for the next election. No major shakeups for San Angelo ISD School Board. All three incumbents win election. By John Tufts, published May 1st. Despite the opportunity to shake things up on the San Angelo ISD School Board, all three incumbents won their bid for re-election Saturday. On Election Day, May 1st, voters went to the polls to decide three district races. Single-member District 1. Out of a total of 588 ballots cast, incumbent Bill Dendel was projected to be the winner with 411 votes, 70%, to Chris Gureau's 177 ballots, 30%. The Standard Times contacted Bill Dendel for his thoughts on being reelected to the school board. "Well, I'd like to say hello to Mr. Gureau. It was a very amiable campaign, and I wish him well in his future endeavors," Dendel said. "I look forward to just getting to work again and helping the kids of San Angelo with their education." Single-member District 3. Incumbent Taylor Kingman maintained an early lead and claimed 635 votes out of 1,068 ballots cast, 59.5%. His challenger, Debbie Cross, had 376 votes, 36%. Colin Neal Glaspie, who dropped out of the race, still had 57 votes. "I'm glad to be the representative for SMD3, but I'm also very happy that multiple people applied to be in that position," Kingman said. "Overall, I'm very happy to be the candidate that won." The Standard Times spoke with Debbie Cross, who came up short in her school board run. "Well, of course I'm disappointed, but I've always said from the very beginning that if it was God's will for me to be the next school board, then I would. And God has other plans for me, and that's okay," Cross said, and then congratulated Kingman on his victory. "It was a great experience, and I'm glad I did it. It was done respectfully all the way across the board, and I enjoyed getting to know the school board members personally. Dr. Kingman is a great guy, and I really like him and wish him all the best." Single-member District 4. Out of a total of 1,369 ballots cast, incumbent Amy Mizell Flint remained in the lead after early voting with 915 votes, 66.8%, to Lynette Lucas and her 454 ballots, 33.2%. "I was, of course, very nervous, but I was really excited and humbled that my district elected me again to serve on the board," Mizell Flint said. "And so I'm looking forward to continuing with the work that we started. The board has been working very hard to progress the district, and I'm really excited to be able to continue that work." One race was determined to be over in March. School board trustees voted March 29th to cancel the election for single-member District 2, after Lupita Arroyo ran unopposed and was therefore declared elected to office. Art Hernandez made the decision this year to retire from the school board after 15 years of representing District 2. Hernandez said he initially wanted to serve 1 to 2 terms when he was elected in 2006, but the ride lasted longer than he anticipated. As his own children moved through SAISD, Hernandez said he concentrated on improving graduation rates for Hispanic and minority students. "It's going to be hard leaving, but I've enjoyed the trip," Hernandez said during an earlier interview with the Standard Times. "I hope the person who takes over is going to jump right in and take off where I left." 16 people arrested after authorities bust drug trafficking ring in McCulloch County, by John Tufts, published April 30th. The Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, announced Friday authorities arrested 16 people on charges of narcotics charges after a multi-agency operation in the McCulloch County area. The investigation targeted an alleged drug trafficking ring and the distribution of methamphetamine, a news release stated. Those arrested ranged in age from 26 to 63, with most people residents of Brady. A DPS spokesperson said the 15-month investigation was led by DPS Criminal Investigations Division, CID, special agents. The Texas Highway Patrol, Texas Rangers, McCulloch Sheriff's Office, Brady Police Department, San Antonio Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, Menard County Constable's Office, Brownwood Police Department, San Angelo Police Department, and the 452nd District Attorney's Office were also involved in the operation, the news release stated. The following suspects were arrested for conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute a controlled substance, PG1. 400 grams methamphetamine, a first-degree felony, and booked into the McCulloch County Jail. Roger Hollis Miller, 63, of Brady. Jasmine Janelle Perez, 26, of Brady. Brenda Sue Hines, 41, of Brady. John David Gonzalez, 29, of Brady. Brittany Leanne Crowder, 34, of Brady. Timothy Scott Richardson, 30, of Brady. Jeffrey Dennis Wiley, 33, of Brady. Jessica Nicole Davis, 26, of Brady. Jeffrey Allen Fryer, 27, of Brady. Tina Jeanette Quilliam, 49, of Brady. Paul William Smith, 49, of Brady. Joe Prudencia Castanueya, 48, of Brady. Abel Castanuela Rodriguez, 42, of Brady. Rachel Nicole Davenport, 34, of Brady. Charles Leon Cook Jr., 34, of Brady. Elaine Alfredo Valencia Mendez, 32, of Brownwood. A DPS spokesperson said the following individuals, who were already incarcerated on unrelated charges, were also served indictments following the investigation into this drug ring: Larry James Bryan, 47, of Brady; Valerie Solis, 39, of Brady; Justin Dunway Fryer, 31, of Brady; Jimmy Clarence Hines, 48, of Brady; Joshua Keith Fryer, 39, of Brady; Ty Thomas Taylor, 24, of Brady; and Jennifer Marie Hero, 40, of Brady. Need ideas for Mother's Day in San Angelo? Here are some weekend events and specials, by Rosanna Frere, published May 5th. That special day for moms is quickly approaching. Here are specials and events in San Angelo to celebrate Mother's Day on Sunday, May 9th. Mother's Day brunch by Helen Bistro includes fresh fruit, quiche, French toast, casserole, syrup, strawberry, cream puffs, and juice. Brunch for two people is $40. And for four people, $55. Order by Friday, May 7th. Call 325-245-6324. Mimosas at the Firehouse is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 8th at Old Central Firehouse Pizzeria, 200 South Magdalen Street. Enjoy lunch and $5 mimosa bar. Let's Celebrate Mom Adoption event by Cassie's Place is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 8th at Ace Hardware, 1821 Knickerbocker Road. There will be raffles and gifts as you find the perfect pup for mom. Families can treat mom to a brunch at the J.L. Bar Ranch in Sonora on Sunday, May 9th, with two exclusive seatings between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. For $39.95 and $12.95 for children, guests and locals will be treated to a special menu of signature dishes from their expert culinary team. Call for more info at 310-453-2539. For those staying the weekend, there's an activity for every type of mom, from a full equestrian program featuring horseback riding and a horse psychology experience to off-road ATV adventures, a putting chipping green, spa treatments, wine tasting, and clay and skeet shooting. Cowboy Up Chocolates will be giving a free dozen wooden rose bouquet with the purchase of $25 to celebrate moms, in-store only at 2411 College Hills Boulevard. Concho Valley Farmers Market announces 2021 opening day, by Rosanna Frere, published April 29th. The Concho Valley Farmers Market has announced its opening day for 2021. The market is planning to open Saturday, May 8th, and will remain open until October. The Farmers Market is located at 609 South Oak Street and is open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 7 a.m. until they sell out. We should have the following available: eggs, plants, jelly, baked goods, fresh pecans, green onions, fresh beef, fresh pork, and hopefully some fresh greens, a Facebook post by the farmers market stated. Cost is typically $1 per bundle or bowl. It is recommended to bring cash, as some vendors may not accept debit or credit cards. Farmers can join the market for $15 or $20, which allows them to set up a stand for $5 or $10 at each sale. For more information, contact Margie Jackson, president of the Concho Valley Farmers Market, at 325-245-3338. Nonprofit in San Angelo empowers and encourages students through music, by Rosanna Frere, published May 1st. A nonprofit in San Angelo is empowering and encouraging students through music. C.J. Lucky founded CAPS, Celebrating All Persevering Students, in October 2017. We teach students powerful, insightful concepts, Lucky said. For example, one of the concepts that we teach is a concept called the power of yet. I can't do this yet. This doesn't make sense yet. I don't get it yet. After being taught the concept, the CAPS group incorporates it with Lucky's music. Songs like The Power of Yet and Grit and Resilience will leave students dancing, singing, and learning lessons that will benefit them in the classroom and in life. Music is able to stick more and is a great memory aid, Lucky said. We talk with students about the growth mindset and the belief you can develop your talents or abilities, but the underlying theme of our celebrations is perseverance. Lucky said his nonprofit traveled to 100 elementary schools in the past 3 years. We celebrated over 50,000 students, but zero of these schools and students are right here in the Concho Valley. We want to bring these celebrations here and powerful messages that we teach here to the Concho Valley. Even during COVID, when they weren't physically able to go to campuses, they had virtual visits. This is a great opportunity to be able to present our messages to students and their families as well, Lucky said. We do family-oriented events that families will greatly enjoy, but it's the opportunity for us to introduce the messages to the community. Lucky said the main reason for his nonprofit is to mend the mindsets of children. Our mindsets are our biggest asset, he said. We want our students to have the proper mindset to grow. CAPS is also among the local organizations participating May 4th in San Angelo Gives, an online fundraising event held by the San Angelo Area Foundation. For more information about CAPS, visit cjluckycaps.com. To donate to the San Angelo Gives charity drive, visit sanangelogives.org. San Angelo Librarian receives Project of the Year Award from Texas Library Association, by John Tufts, published May 4th. Most librarians lend books to children by the handful. Jill Donegan of San Angelo provided an entire library, two of them to be precise. Her efforts of promoting literacy were recently recognized across Texas. Donegan serves as director for the Tom Green County Library and received the Wayne Williams Project of the Year Award last week from the Texas Library Association. Officials selected her from a pool of 6,000 other libraries across the state. "I was surprised," Donegan said Wednesday, April 28. "It was in recognition for a project that took place over the past year. We took some of our books and surplus furniture, and we donated them to the Boys and Girls Club so that they could set up a proper library for their kids to enjoy." From March to around May 2020, all three Tom Green County library branches remained closed to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Donegan said library staff, nevertheless, kept busy trying to make a difference in the community. "When COVID hit, we had to close our doors to the public," Donegan said. "We were all really seeking out opportunities to serve the public and do more outreach. Staff found a project to rally behind at the San Angelo Boys and Girls Clubs, a nonprofit which provides after-school and summer programs mostly to children in low-income families. Children ages 6 to 18 participate in recreational and social activities, computer usage, and receive help with school and academic work at two sites located in the north and south side of San Angelo, 1802 North Lily Street and 2762 Ben Ficklin Road, respectively. A Tom Green County librarian last year noticed something children at the Boys and Girls Club appeared to be lacking, a good place to read. Reading options at one club included discarded school books and a set of encyclopedias. While there were bookshelves, staff noted most of the books were old, torn, and placed haphazardly on the shelf, or in boxes where the children had to rummage to get them. There were over 40 copies of Into the Beautiful North, discarded by a local school, as well as a set of 1998 encyclopedias shelved for the children's use in the play area. A space existed for books, but not for the children to read those books in an environment fostering literacy. It was obvious that books and the potential of a library were not a primary focus at either location, and the books were simply donated because they were worn and torn, according to notes about the project. If the children at San Angelo's Boys and Girls Club couldn't come to the Tom Green County Library due to COVID-19, Donegan would bring the library to them. She encouraged staff to create a library space at each location. Their efforts were detailed in Donegan's award application. Sally Myers, children's librarian, and Lee Barbie, adult services and information librarian, weeded out old titles and reorganized the shelves with as many as 300 donated books. Wanda Green, assistant director, used her own money to purchase a bookcase for one location. Green also gathered NASA space pictures for decoration at both centers. John Garza, a library employee, transported furniture and helped arrange large posters and pictures. Myers recalled some children's reactions to seeing the NASA space pictures for the first time. They said, "Wow, could we go there?" Myers said. St. Mark Presbyterian Church bought carpet and had it installed at the Southside Boys and Girls Club. Myers and Myers' husband Craig provided carpet for the Northside facility and contributed toward the Southside facility carpet as well. The Junior League of San Angelo painted the Southside library room. Panda Express donated a large amount of Scholastic paperbacks for all ages that covered an entire bookshelf, offering multiple copies of diverse, current, and award-winning titles. Barren shelves were replaced with books children wanted to read, like the popular Dog Man and Junie B. Jones series. Comfortable chairs were added for children to sit on, as well as fresh carpet to make a more enjoyable atmosphere for reading. Staff noted the reaction of an older student who offered to help arrange the new collection. She was very excited about the books, and it appeared that she had knowledge of classic children's literature, records stated. Coming across Dog Man, she squealed. Her excitement made the entire project worthwhile, and she ended up taking that book home. Children are frequently given free paperbacks to take home and read, staff noted, and there were 10 children at the San Angelo Boys and Girls Club who earned a medal through the library's summer reading program for reading 10 books. Donegan has been pleased with the results And while it might be her name printed large across the award certificate, she was quick to credit others for their contributions, which included Myers, who first noticed the need at the San Angelo Boys and Girls Club. Myers came up with this idea to help out the Boys and Girls Club, to give them a library that they deserve, Donegan said. Donegan's desire to stay out of the limelight and give others the credit was noted by several people tied to the project. And now here's our column by Allison Watkins. Spring Lawn Care Can Help Prevent Summer Stickers. Published April 30th. It looks like the snow cover during the deep freeze in February helped protect lawns in the Concho Valley. They are greening up well and did not suffer significant freeze damage. Now it is time to get along with spring lawn care to help the grass be as dense and thick as possible so that it can be functional, attractive, and weed-free. A healthy, dense lawn is the best defense against weeds and is the key to being a sticker-free lawn that can be enjoyed without worrying about being impaled by the various types of stickers that are common. It can seem like weeds come in and take over the lawn and ruin the nice turf. But what really happens is the lawn gets stressed, becomes thin and weak, allowing weeds to come up that wouldn't have proliferated had the lawn been healthy. Fertilization is one of the common maintenance steps for turf. For Bermuda grass, fertilize based on how vigorous the grass grows. Typical Bermuda lawns will need about 2 to 3 applications over the growing season. Don't fertilize during hot, dry spells when the grass is not growing as fast. Apply 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. St. Augustine generally does not need as much nitrogen fertilizer as Bermuda lawns, so be careful not to overdo it. Just apply lightly, a half rate, once this spring and once in the fall. But there are some other tasks to do specifically for St. Augustine that will keep it healthy and prevent disease problems. Take-all root rot is a common fungal disease that can affect other turf species as well, but is mostly seen in St. Augustine. It causes widespread damage with large dead areas that can eventually kill the whole lawn if not treated. Top dress with sphagnum peat moss at a rate of 1 to 2 bales per 1,000 square feet every spring, April to early May, and fall, September to early October. The acidity of the peat moss helps prevent take-all because the pathogen thrives in alkaline conditions. This is most helpful on lawns that are currently healthy or just starting to yellow from the disease. If the disease has been problematic in the past or symptoms are currently showing up, also apply azoxystrobin fungicide, trade name Scott's Disease X or Heritage, and fertilize with an iron plus micronutrient fertilizer that includes manganese. For more info on lawn care, see a Bermuda grass management guide and a St. Augustine turf grass management guide at https://tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture/. Frequent mowing and deep but infrequent irrigation are also vital maintenance steps that will create a beautiful lawn. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.